Chapter 3
"Have you tried the old hocus-pocus?"
Paul suggested from behind his desk, without even looking up from his Sudoku puzzle.
"That one always seems to work."
"That's not a real spell, Paul,"
Janine said with a roll of her eyes.
"Though it's a great movie."
"Yeah, it's overrated,"
the grumpy old man huffed, and then he scribbled down something in his puzzle book. Once we'd returned to Cincy's Jewel, I'd promptly thrown on a set of old clothes I had in my office, and then Janine and Ada broke out all of the paranormal spell books they had in their possession.
"What about a simple protection spell? I think we both know how to cast that one, right?"
"Speak for yourself. I've only read about most of these. I've never actually tried to cast them before."
"Well, I know how to do an easy one. I've done it many times at my nightclub, mainly for my office door and my money safe."
"But you've never cast a spell on an entire building?"
"Never."
Ada shook her head and then shrugged.
"But how hard could it be? It's the exact same spell, just with a little bit more oomph."
"I don't think that's how it works,"
Janine said, as she read through a page in the old book before her.
"It says here, if you want to increase the proximity of a simple protection spell, you have to use an amount of herbs equivalent to 1/4 of the space's square footage."
"See?"
The succubus grinned.
"Easy."
I'm no mathematician, but you use sage, lavender, cypress leaves, and tamarisk root, right?"
"Yes. I have all of that already, love. It's in my drawer back at my club."
"You have enough to be equal to 1/4 of this whole building's size?"
The redhead raised an eyebrow at the succubus.
"I find that hard to believe."
"Well, no."
The dark-haired woman frowned.
"I suppose I don't. But we could always buy all the necessary ingredients."
Doubtful.
Leah interjected.
"Sage and lavender, sure, but cypress leaves and tamarisk root, those sound more rare, so you'd have to special order them. Maybe some of the nurseries around here would have a few, but probably nowhere near enough to make this spell work."
"Okay, fine."
Ada huffed and crossed her arms over her chest.
"What do you suggest, then?"
What about this one?"
Janine asked, as she placed her finger on the page.
"It's called the Dome Hex, and it'll create a protective dome around the entire building. Invisible to the naked eye, of course."
"Not a bad idea."
Ada pursed her lips together and nodded.
"What does it entail?" Let's see."
Janine trailed off as she read the spell.
"You have to incite the spirit of Mesta, son of Horus, by..."
Janine went silent, so Leah instantly walked over to her and peered over her shoulder.
"By placing a human liver in a jar with his effigy, crying into it, and then singing his praises for 12 hours straight. Yikes. Also, ill."
"I can easily provide you with a human liver,"
Ada proclaimed, and everybody in the room gave her a puzzled look.
"What? I know a bunch of people in the black market organ trade."
"I didn't even want to know. How fast could you get one here?" I shuddered.
"By nightfall, probably."
The succubus shrugged.
"Maybe sooner, if I remind my contact of all the organs I've gotten for her over the years."
"And the effigy of Mesta? Surely that's not something you just have lying around."
"No."
Ada shook her head.
"But we could always pay to have somebody carve one."
"Again, good idea, but that'll take forever. We need something quicker. The OLG could come barging in at any second now, and I want us to be protected ASAP."
"Aren't there, like, symbols you can draw on the doors? I saw that in the movie once, where the good guys drew a bunch of occult symbols on the doors, and it kept the bad guys out."
"Symbol seals are generally meant for keeping things inside a vessel. Yet another thing Hollywood gets dead wrong about the occult."
What about that one?"
Leah asked, as she pointed to a spot on the page.
"It sounds promising. The Hex of Bad Fortune? I mean, it's not exactly a protective spell, but it gives anybody who walks into a space uninvited bad luck."
"I love where your head's at, love,"
Ada said with a wicked grin.
"But we want to keep them out completely." "Wait, I've got it. What if we try to cast an internal death spell?"
"We're gonna need some more info than that, Ada."
"It's also known as a DNA death spell,"
the succubus went on.
"You basically set it up so anyone who enters an area with a certain characteristic in their genes will be struck dead on the spot. All we have to do is cast it to affect people with Khonsu's genetic makeup in their DNA, and the cultists will never enter our space again. Two problems with that.
Janine shook her head.
One, not everybody in the OLG is a descendant or Khonsu's creation. Also, that wouldn't address things like the muck dwellers coming in through the sewers or the lunar hound that attacked us before.
We need something with a broader range, if such a spell exists. Janine flipped a few pages ahead and then let her tongue slide out from underneath her lips as she read through the spellbook. Finally, her brown eyes lit up, and she looked up at the rest of us.
Could we try the Hex of Illusion? That wouldn't protect the club, per se, but we could make the exterior look like it was abandoned or crumbling or something. That would be fine if this was a secret hideout,
Leah said with a frown.
But I'm pretty sure Carter wants to actually make money off of this place, which requires patrons to be able to find it.
Ugh, damn it. You're right.
How about that one there? The Spell of the Good Sister?
A spell involving Tassent Nefert?
Ada perked up in her chair.
Now that does sound interesting. What does it do?
It offers protection for anyone who gives a sacrifice to the minor deity.
Janine read from the page.
Apparently you burn something dear to you inside of an altar bowl with some sage and rosemary, say a little prayer, and then the Tassent Nefert watches over you and protects you from the enemies of Horus.
One of which would be Khonsu.
Who is Tassent Nefert? I studied ancient Egypt a lot in school, but I've never heard of that one.
It's a lesser deity,
Janine explained with a dismissive flap of her hand.
The consort of Horus the Elder.
Oh! I gasped as it dawned on me. Okay, I know Horus.
Though it does say here this spell is a rather weak one,
Janine warned and scrunched up her nose.
It could easily be overwritten by a counterspell by a more major deity.
And I bet the OLG are all blessed by Khonsu. You don't get too much more major than that guy.
It's something to keep in mind, though. A little bit of protection is much better than none at all.
We spent the better part of an hour going through different spells and hexes and why they would or wouldn't work for our needs. No matter what we found, they were either too complex, or we couldn't get the items and ingredients soon enough, or they ended up being too weak to repel followers of Khonsu. Finally, Ada let out a long-winded gasp as she sat straight up in her chair.
I'm a fucking idiot,
the succubus said, as she slapped her palm against her forehead.
The answer's been staring at me the whole time.
What? Is there another spell you're thinking of?
Kind of.
Ada shrugged.
Not a spell or a hex, but a piece of clothing.
Armor? Is that what you're getting at?
No.
Ada shook her head.
Not armor. An amulet. Protective amulet.
Of course, I said with a wide grin. Why didn't I think of that?
Maybe I'm just stupid, Paul said with a grunt. But, how are a bunch of necklaces going to protect us from creepy-ass things like we saw in the park?
The ancient Egyptians were all about their protective amulets. They would find the gemstone of the god or goddess they wanted to evoke and have a priest bless it. Then it would offer them magical protection against any of their god's enemies.
What's the gemstone of Bast?
Leah asked, and her blue eyes sparkled with curiosity.
That would be the goddess we're trying to evoke, right?
Tiger's Eye,
Janine and Ada said in unison.
Really?
Leah asked, as she cocked her head to the side.
That's not a rare jewel or anything. We could run down to the hobby store and pick some of those up for, like, dirt cheap.
They'd need to be blessed, though, which is the difficult part, especially since Carter is the only one of us here who is truly a child of Bast.
Yeah, it's worth a shot, I shrugged. Though I don't think I have the power to bless anything.
Sure you do, love,
Ada said as she hopped up from her chair.
Janine, can you drive me down to that New Age store down the road? I know they have some Tiger's Eye there.
Sure.
The redhead said, as she closed the book and stood up.
Just promise me you won't spend an hour staring at the Kama Sutra books like last time.
No promises.
Ada winked, and then the two women walked to the door of Cincy's Jewel.
Wow.
Leah chuckled with a click of her tongue.
Here I am, seriously talking about gemstone magic. My professors would fail me instantly if they knew I was taking this so seriously.
Joke's on them. They're the ones who are being closed-minded about it all. If Ada says it'll work, I believe her.
Maybe.
Leah sighed and ran a hand through her blonde hair.
But we don't even know what kind of protection it'll even offer.
It can't hurt to try. Besides, Bast gave me my awesome powers, so I have to believe her protection will be just as potent.
Fair enough.
My lover smiled. Leah, Paul, Tony, and I all hung around the lounge as we waited for Janine and Ada to return. Paul muttered away at his puzzle book while Tony played around on his phone, and meanwhile, Leah and I tried to look up more spells in the books Janine had been reading. There were a fuck ton of interesting hexes and enchantments in the books, but none of them so far seemed to be what we were looking for. I suppose that shouldn't have been surprising, considering Khonsu was a powerful occult deity, and many people worshipped him and submitted to his power. I also wasn't finding many spells against Osiris, Isis, or Horus for the same reason. They were just too powerful to defend against. After about an hour, Janine and Ada marched through the door with a few plastic bags in their hands.
"Here we go,"
Ada announced as she walked into the room.
"We have amulets for everyone."
The two women brought the bags over to one of the lounge tables and then emptied their contents onto the metal tops, and six chunks of multicolored stone fell out. Each rock was about the size of a half-dollar coin and was striped with a different pattern of golds, browns, and tans. Tiger's Eye Stones. Each of the gemstones was surrounded by a small barrier of wood, which itself was attached to a thin metal jewelry chain.
"Now we just need to bless them,"
Janine said, before she turned to look at me.
"Carter, would you like to do the honors?"
I mean, I would, but I don't know how the fuck you bless something like this. I grew up going to a Baptist church, for fuck's sake.
"It isn't difficult. Simply repeat after me. Yah, Ahuya, Albacet, Alezium, Barak, Hadhi, Alkite, Min, Ruhik, Hata, Nasul, Ila, Kwatik, Wahimeatik, Beinama, Nashukwa, Tariquana, Fi, Hariha, Alihat, Hata, Nata Makan Min Kidmatik Bishakal Afdala."
What? I laughed at the absurdity of the situation.
"You have to say it in the language of the region,"
Ada said with a frown.
"Or else it won't work. Do you need me to repeat the incantation?"
"Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Probably many, many more times." Ada repeated the magic words, and I tried my best to copy her pronunciation and the emphasis in her voice. But nothing happened.
"You must make sure you say every single word correctly,"
the succubus added.
"Or else the goddess Bast will not hear you. Again."
We tried once more, and once again I couldn't get the pronunciations correct. So we tried again. And again. And again. It took me nearly 30 minutes worth of practice before I could finally get the proper inflections and pronunciations right. But it was well worth it. When I got to about the 50th time through the incantation, all of the amulets on the table began to glow with a golden light.
I don't believe it,
Leah gasped as her blue eyes widened.
You don't? You're a frog woman and he's a giant killer kitty cat. At this point, I'd believe it if you told me Elvis and Michael Jackson were really still alive and had just been abducted by aliens.
After the incantation was finished, the tiger's eye stones ceased to glow. Did it work? I pondered aloud as I picked up one of the amulets. As I touched the stone, it felt white hot in my hands, and I just about dropped it. Then I set it back down gently before I cracked my knuckles and looked to Janine and Ada for further explanation.
Those are the gemstones of Bast, and they will protect you from Khonsu,
Ada said, when she saw the question on my face.
According to this particular spell, these amulets are supposed to protect you from the gaze of the enemy.
Basically, they'll stop Khonsu from spying on our positions at all times,
Janine added, with an excited grin.
As long as you're wearing it, of course.
That might not have completely solved our issue of creating a protective spell around our lounge, but it definitely was going to help us out in the long run.
So, we gotta wear jewelry now. It's for a good cause, Paul. Also, as the chief of security, I'm making it a part of the dress code from now on. For safety. Think of it as a military dog tag. That'll make it seem a lot less girly.
You can just tuck it under your shirt, I explained to the old man. Nobody will even know you're wearing it.
Yeah.
Paul trailed off as he picked up one of the amulets.
As long as it gets those weirdos in the red robes to leave me alone, I'm in.
It won't stop them from bothering you,
Janine warned.
If they want to find us, they'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way and not pray to their creepy moon god about it.
I picked up the tiger's eye again and weighed it in my hands. It was still glowing, but now its searing hot surface had cooled off enough to hold against my flesh. The amulet must have only weighed a few ounces, and its elastic black string was equally as light. "Elastic?" I asked, as I spread the string and pulled it over my head. "You know Ada's rich, right? You could have gone with something sturdier, like a chain."
"Not for you, big boy,"
Ada said, as she stuck out her tongue.
"You have a tendency to expand when you feel excited. So anything rigid strapped around your neck is just asking to get lost."
Tony trailed off as he pulled his amulet over his head.
"You are talking about him transforming into a panther, right?"
"What else would I be talking about, love?"
The succubus winked and then shot me a sultry smile. One by one, we all put the protective amulets over our heads and adjusted them so they were comfortable. Then Paul and Tony tucked theirs into their shirts, while Ada and Leah both wore theirs proudly like a piece of jewelry. "I guess I'll just ask this question." I laughed as a thought came to my head. So Khonsu can't see us when we're wearing these amulets, right?"
"That's right."
Janine nodded. What do we do with it when we're naked? like if I want to take a shower or sleep in my underwear or something."
"Oh, no." Paul shook his head furiously. "I ain't sticking this thing up the prison pocket, if that's what you're getting at."
"It doesn't have to be right up against your flesh at all times,"
Ada explained, and then she flicked her tail with her left hand.
"And don't knock sticking things up the prison pocket until you've actually tried it."
Paul paled and looked absolutely horrified at the suggestion, but Ada just giggled like a madwoman.
"I believe the spell says that it must remain within 10 cubits of your person at all times,"
Janine added. 10 cubits? I raised an eyebrow.
"It's an occult spell. Of course it's going to use ancient measurements instead of modern ones. That's about..."
The tip of Leah's tongue slipped out of her mouth as she looked up at the ceiling.
15 feet, I believe. Roughly. A cubit is roughly 1.5 feet.
"That's not too bad," I said with a shrug. "So I could totally lay it on my nightstand when I'm sleeping and the enchantment will still work."
"That's what the spell says."
Ada nodded and then looked over at Paul.
"Though keeping it in a body cavity would make sure you never get too far away."
"No, thank you, doll. I'm just gonna shove it in my pocket or something."
Not to sound ungrateful or anything, I sighed and hung my head. But this only addresses half the problem. So now the Order of the Lunar God can't keep tabs on us 24/7, which is great. But they already know where some of our most popular hangout spots are. Surely they all know by now I own Cincy's jewel, and that we are at Ada's nightclub all the time.
"Plus our classes,"
Leah said, as she pointed between herself and Janine.
That's doubtful, dear.
Ada shook her head.
"The OLG is obsessed with finding and killing Carter, and Carter specifically. You know, the bastard of Bast and all."
"Wouldn't we be in danger, too?"
the polywarm woman asked.
"Since we hang out with Carter all the time, wouldn't the OLG want to, like, kidnap us or something so they could get to him?"
"I think you give the OLG too much credit. I believe there are more brain cells in an amoeba than there are in that entire cult."
"I don't know, Ada. That's like typical Hollywood villain shit to do."
"It's a good thing these guys aren't Hollywood villains, then." "Even if they wanted to do something like that, they have no clue about these protective amulets. So they just pray to Khonsu and ask him to give them your whereabouts right then and there. And he couldn't."
Janine smiled.
"That's right,"
Ada said with a smirk.
"And I would wager my life the OLG cultists don't have your class schedules memorized. They don't have that kind of foresight."
"But we still need to protect Cincy's jewel and the club."
"That may require a deeper dive into these texts,"
Janine admitted as she pointed to the books.
"How much deeper can you go? We've been at this for almost an hour, and we've exhausted all the protection and hexing spells we could find."
"I'm disappointed in you, Miss Scientist,"
Janine smirked and clicked her tongue.
"You, of all people, should know that's not how the research process works. If you don't find what you're looking for immediately, then
you start looking in places you'd least expect,"
Leah finished.
"Exactly!"
The redhead clapped her hands together and giggled.
"For all we know, the spell we need could be categorized underneath sleeping spells or passion hexes. The possibilities are endless."
"Shit. If you're going to be going through that entire thing, I may need to go back and get my other Sudoku book. I'm almost out of puzzles."
and I may go doze off for a bit.
You think this place can last an hour or two without its chief of security?
I think we'll be fine, I said to the bald beefcake of a man. The OLG already sent one squad of goons after us today, so I doubt they'll send another so soon. Plus, they can't see us at all. I think we're safe, but I'd keep on the lookout just in case.
Don't worry about it, Paul said, as he wandered over to a nearby door. I'll get set up in the security camera room and watch all the outdoor cameras. If one of those freaks in red shows up, you'll be the first to know.
Paul tucked his pencil behind his ear and the puzzle book underneath his arm before he slowly strode to the swinging doors that led to the back of the establishment. Then he pushed his way through and disappeared toward the security room of Cincy's Jewel.
I really hope he doesn't fall asleep doing his puzzles. That'd be fitting. We get sneak attacked by the OLG because he's too focused on his book.
Death by Sudoku. That'd be the way to go.
I might go stay in the room with him,
Tony suggested through a yawn.
There's two desks in there, so if he starts to get tired or anything, I'll just have him wake me up and then I'll stand guard.
Knock yourself out, I said to my chief of security. You've earned a long rest after today's craziness. Tony gave me a nod before he shuffled off toward the back of the building. But once he was out of sight, Ada turned to me and frowned.
In all seriousness, though, this process may take hours to complete. Janine and I will have to comb through these spell books and look for anything that might even potentially help us with protecting this place. And then, after that, we'll have to go through and actually test out the spells.
Okay. What's that got to do with anything?
Janine and I are the only ones who know what we're looking for.
Good. I nodded. I have full confidence you two will be able to find something.
Carter?
Leah whispered with a giggle.
I think this is Ada's subtle, nice way of telling us to go away because we can't be of much help.
I looked at Ada, who just tilted her head to the side and placed her hand against her chest in her best...
Who, me?
...expression. I guess you're right. Leah and I would probably just get in the way or distract you, so it's probably best if we go hang out somewhere else.
No.
Ada said in a tone that sounded extremely fake.
We just don't want you to feel bored, that's all. Janine and I are going to be sitting around thumbing through books and maybe occasionally testing out spells that probably won't do anything at all. It's going to be very, very dull.
I get it. We'll find something else to do. Just come and find us when you make a breakthrough on the hexes.
Trust me,
Janine said, as her lips twisted into a half smirk.
The second I find anything, I'm going to run through this entire building screaming happily at the top of my lungs.
Oh, damn.
Ada purred as she bit her bottom lip.
I always love to hear you scream, love.
Janine's expression fell instantly, and the redhead's face turned as crimson as her hair as she cleared her throat and adjusted her glasses.
You'll know when we find out something. I promise.
Well then, Leah, I mused, and then I put my arm around the blonde's shoulders. I guess we'd better find something else to do and let these two bookworms get to work.
Sounds like a plan.
Leah smiled, and then we started toward the back room. The blonde and I walked side by side, through the swinging double doors, and then back into the hallway in the bowels of Cincy's Jewel. I looked down the renovated hallways, which had been widened, were now lit with modern LED lights, and whose entire wallpaper had been replaced with a classy metal Art Deco-inspired pattern. Do you want to go join the others in the security room? I joked as I pointed with my thumb. Sounds like they're having a blast in there.
Oh, I bet.
Leah giggled. But then she placed her hand against my chest and playfully moved her index and middle fingers upward.
But I had another idea in mind. One that sounds a lot more fun.
Really? I raised an eyebrow as my heart fluttered in my chest. And, what might that be?
Follow me back to your office.
Leah winked over her shoulder as she turned and began to walk down the hall.
And maybe I'll show you.
My eyes traveled down to her tight, fit ass as she walked away. It was covered by nothing but a thin layer of black fabric from her leggings, and I could see by the outline of her underwear that she was wearing a sexy G-string underneath. I wanted nothing more than to bend Leah over right there in the hallway, tear off those pants and have my way with her. And my heart started to hammer in my chest as the blood in my body rushed to my nether regions. So, with several dirty thoughts swirling around in my mind, I followed the beautiful blonde toward my office. We were definitely going to find a fun way to pass the next few hours.